it feels so good to feel like what we do is valued and appreciated. Like that was something that doesn't happen very often. Because usually people only complain when things go wrong. When Correct. Things go right, they ignore you.
Real estate is about freedom. Choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom. And the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy. From tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I've got Eric Wright here with me. He was a casual real estate investor for over a decade, just recently went full time when he started his company, New Horizon Home Buyers. His biggest strength is generating off-market leads through SEO. So this could be a fun conversation. Many of those leads are single family homes, HBRs, flips, wholesales. You know, the fastest growing part of his business is leveraging his SEO efforts to bring leads into JV partners and other markets in exchange for a percentage of the deal completed. So this could be cool for anybody in any market. He and his wife also write a blog, or the Real Life Investor Couple, where they detail the ups and downs through their real estate investing journey. So I'm excited to have him here. Eric, how are you?
I'm good, Neil. Thanks for having me on.
I'm excited you're here. It's fun to... We were just catching up before we started. It's fun to talk to people in other markets and talk about what they're doing, because so many people have different strengths and weaknesses. And so I'm excited to talk about SEO stuff. But before we dive into that, just tell me, we all have a different entry point to this business. You started as a casual investor, as you described it. Mm-hmm. What was your entry point to the industry?
Yeah, so I kind of got into it accidentally. I was living with a roommate or several roommates. We had a friend that she owned the house, and there were several of us that lived with her. And she got married and kicked us all out, understandably. So we had to find a place to live. And I was the one with the job that could qualify for a loan at the time. So I was like, well, I'll just go buy a house and we can all go move into my house. So I did that and kind of did an accidental house hack. Didn't really know the term or what that was. But that was a couple years after college. And then I lived for free for 3 years and actually made a little money over what my mortgage cost. My roommate's paying the mortgage, and then sold the house and made a profit and was like, there's something to this.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. So then after that, I bought a duplex, lived in one side, rented out the other. Yep. And then I got married. My wife wanted this really cute, renovated, like 1930s home, which sounded awful to me because I knew how many issues those old homes had.
Yeah.
But it had a garage apartment in the back. And so that was really attractive to me. And so I kept the duplex, moved into the house, rented out the garage apartment. And then from there, it just kind of snowballed.
Yeah. No, that's cool. What year was that duplex then?
So the duplex I bought about 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. About 8 years ago. So my first house was 10 or 11 years ago.
Yeah. All right. So then you marry, you've got a place in the back that you're renting out. And then what eventually led you into real estate being, you know, the full-time gig?
So when I had the duplex, I was living in Louisiana. My wife and I got married. We actually met through a nonprofit that I was working for and she was a volunteer for. So I was a homeless outreach director for a nonprofit there in Louisiana. My wife was a volunteer house mom for a recovery home for women who'd been rescuing out of human trafficking. So she was also a nurse at the time, was volunteering doing that. We met, and then we ended up fostering and then adopted our son through foster care and then moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee from Louisiana. And I didn't have a job. My resume is a little interesting. I was a whitewater rafting guide, a gymnastics coach, worked for a homeless outreach nonprofit, and had done some other like random jobs. So I couldn't necessarily just go in and find a normal job because I didn't really have the resume for it. So I started selling items that I found in garage sales and thrift stores on eBay. And that's how I was making my living.
Little side hustle.
Yeah. Side hustle to pay the bills.
Yeah. It wasn't so much side. Right.
Yeah. Right. So I did that, but still had a couple rentals and stuff that I'd acquired in Louisiana, and then knew that was really the goal to go full time here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, as I could do that. So I started my company, New Horizon Home Buyers, right in the middle of COVID with, you know, homeschooling kids at home and all that kind of stuff while we're trying to work and make a living. And it's kind of just been a lot of hard work and sweat and tears and whatever since then, but it's really starting to take off in the past 12 months or so.
Yeah. Tell me why. Why, you know, you could have done anything. You probably could have found another job doing something, but why real estate?
That's a great question. I feel like for me, I've always had the entrepreneurial kind of bug. You know, when I was 12, I had my own lawn mowing business. I've always had different kind of hustles like that. And I love the potential for freedom through real estate.
Yeah.
You know, I love the idea of the passive income. My wife and I really wanted to spend a lot of time, especially when we first moved here, pouring into our kids and really loving on them, especially our adopted son who had kind of come out of some rough situations and really wanted to have the freedom to do that. And real estate seemed the natural avenue through which to be able to build that.
Yeah. Tell me, what is it? I mean, you and your wife both seem like tremendous givers, that you're probably just not in this world for yourself. You're in it for who you can touch, what you can do. What's the genesis of that for you? Where does that date back to your childhood?
That's just something I learned from my parents. My parents actually own a gymnastics facility in Arkansas. And so they're both my mom and dad, their entire career that they've built is literally just like pouring into kids' lives. Like, it's not just about teaching the skills. And that's the thing I learned from my parents and from my dad, especially, who taught me how to coach whenever I was a coach, was that it's so much more important than the skills that you teach. It's how are you pouring into these kids' lives and helping them become better people and helping them know the kind of person that they can become.
How has that upbringing and then your choice of that for how you live your life, how does that impact the conversations you have with sellers when you're seller direct?
That's really, really an insightful question. So yeah, I feel like because, especially anything going on in my experience and working in the homeless outreach and some of that kind of stuff, is that it's given me a better sense of being able to be empathetic with people, I guess, to really sit and be willing to listen to stories. So many times, even with our homeless ministry that we were doing, is that we could provide resources and things and food and clothes to people. But some of the most impactful relationships that I have from that was because of the times that I just sat down and just listened to somebody's story.
Yeah.
You know, and so doing that can be really impactful in building rapport and relationship with somebody.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batchleads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batchleads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. So tell me about the portfolio today. What does it look like for you?
Yeah, so currently I've got I've got 5 rehab projects going on currently. So okay, including all of those, it'll be about 13 cash flowing units, or 13 cash flowing rentals. And then I've got 3 flips going on right now as well, and several wholesale JV deals and that kind of stuff in the works as well. So,
all right. So let's talk about the flips. How do you manage the project? You know, you hear so much about obviously rising costs of material. Yeah. But the labor side of that, how do you handle that in your world?
So I'm actually, the 3 flips I've got going on right now are my first 3 flips ever, actually. Everything else I've tried to, we've renovated, but I've tried to do to burn them. So we just try to keep them. So through that process, I've had several okay experiences with contractors, several not great experiences with contractors, and then finally found one guy who's also an investor. His wife is a property manager and he's a contractor. And so he understands the entirety of the business really well. And he's just a great, honest guy who communicates really well. And I will protect that relationship with that contractor with my life. And because I don't have a construction background. You take me into a house and I can kind of look at it and go, I'll see like the main things and miss a ton of other stuff.
Yeah.
It's just not my strong suit. And so my contractor is really the key to my flips, because I can almost just turn him loose and say, hey, do your thing.
Right.
And he'll do everything.
Yeah, it gets a lot easier once you get that standard, a mutual understanding of what you want the thing to look like and then how he communicates, how he works, right?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've done to try to really foster that relationship is that I'll actually, one of those 3 flips, I'm actually partnering on 50-50 with him. Way, just trying to build that relationship more and more so that he makes more money when we partner on some stuff. And that means my other projects are higher on his priority list as well, since we're partners on some other stuff.
Yeah, exactly right. What's been the biggest either mistake or challenge that you've had in bringing contractors in to do the remodels?
Yeah, so some of it, I think, is just my lack of knowledge of how it was actually supposed to be done in the first place, as far as the timeline, like what's an actual
realistic time frame?
Realistic timeline for a project. Honestly, I'm too nice. That's a lot of my downfall sometimes, because of that going back to that empathy side that I can understand, this happened, my crew got COVID. And it's about all these excuses that come in, which eventually I realized maybe are just excuses.
They're just actually that. They're not reasons.
They're just excuses. They're not real reasons. Yeah. Right. And so that's one of the things I'm working on, is how to be more assertive in my dealings with contractors. Then again, if you find a really good one like I have, I don't necessarily have to do that as much, because we communicate really well.
Correct. Yeah. On the properties that you hold for rental, it sounds like you're in a few markets. How do you manage the management piece of it?
Yeah. So I started managing my properties myself when I first got started. Realized I'm a terrible property manager. I'm just some of that lack of assertiveness or too much empathy. I feel like I have a harder time kind of laying down the law, so to speak. So realized pretty quickly property managers are my best friend. So I kind of vetted several different property managers through other investors and who they've used and what their experience has been like with them. And luckily I've found several really top-notch property managers who are doing a great job. I mean, I really have no complaints any of what they've done.
What did you have to go through to figure out that you're not a very good property manager? You just kind of learned as you went.
Several things. So two main experiences. One was a friend actually that I rented when I was in my duplex, running out the other side. I'm pretty sure he still owes me like $4,000 or something. Ended up having to kick him out. Kept trying to work with him and help him.
Who needs enemies when you got friends like that?
Exactly. So that was a tough situation.
How did you manage to get through that?
My wife is much more assertive than I am when it comes to those sort of things. And she, I was recently married at the time, so we were newlyweds, and she wasn't going to put up with that. So she basically encouraged me to go ahead and cut ties there, which I went ahead and did, because I tried to give people the benefit of the doubt and work with them. And that was just kind of past the point of return.
Oh, smart lady.
And then the other experience was I actually had my very first tenant after that was a single mom, two kids, ended up coming in, tried to vet credit score, employment verification, all that kind of stuff. Apparently like 2 or 3 weeks after she moved in, she lost her job and didn't tell me. And then that drug out for several months, which again, I understand, single mom with two kids, like that's tough. It's not somebody that I want to evict, but at some point I have to pay the mortgage on my rental property. And so that was a tough situation as well.
Well, you hit it. None of us want to have to evict anyone.
Exactly.
We just wish they would do what they've agreed to do, maintain the property in a condition they've agreed to maintain. We have to live up to our end of the bargain. We just ask that they live up to their end of the bargain.
Yeah. And I think what I learned too is honestly, by letting it drag out so long, I was actually doing more of a disservice to her than sticking to these are the rules. This is what happens. If you're 5 days late, this, you get this notice, and then that, cause then it's done quickly and she can move on and whatever. When you drag it out and drag it out and drag it out, I feel like that ends up doing more of a disservice to her, because it's not letting her almost like figure out a solution to go start over somewhere else.
Yeah. There's a longer time period of uncertainty.
Yeah. And it would have made her, I mean, she had some family in town apparently that she could have moved in with that I didn't know about until I evicted her. And that could have happened way sooner.
Right. Yeah. So talk to me about SEO. How in the world did you get into SEO from the get-go?
Okay. So when I decided that I wanted to go into real estate full-time, it actually took me about a year and a half of still working my reselling job and some side jobs and that while I was working on my SEO. So I would work 20 hours a week on my SEO and then still work 20 to 30 hours a week on my other stuff, trying to make ends meet. But the reason that we got into it was I knew that I wanted to go full-time real estate. And I knew that because of the way the market was, if you wanted to be successful, you had to find off-market leads.
Right.
Or you had to have a really high-paying W-2 so you could buy leads stuff off the MLS, which I didn't have. So I knew that I had to go off market. So I researched, cold calling and texting and direct mail and bandit signs and all the things.
Yep.
And all of that just sounded terrible to me for whatever. Right. It just did not sound
appealing. Didn't click. Yep.
Yeah, it didn't click. And I knew too, like we had a certain amount of savings that if I spent 10 grand in direct mail and I didn't get a deal from it, because I was still new to off market, I'm sure I would make mistakes, whatever, that 10 grand is gone. Like there's no more leads coming in from that. So I looked into SEO and I found a program that I could sign up for and that would teach me how to, it wouldn't do the SEO for me, but it would teach me how to build a website, how to do the SEO. And that I knew that even if I made a bunch of mistakes on the leads that started coming in from that, that if I was still ranked high enough on Google, more leads would still be coming in the future that wouldn't cost me more money.
Yep.
So that would allow me the time to learn the business without having to invest a lot more cash.
Right. Incredible. So when did you start the SEO?
So right after COVID hit. So what was that? Okay. Like February, March, somewhere around there. So So the summer of 2020, when I started working on it, I spent about 8 months working 20 hours a week just on my SEO and not making a dime, only spending money and working hours.
Only spending money. Here, hold on. I'm going to go one step further. You're saying leads didn't come in.
No, leads don't come in. That's the thing about SEO. It is the long game.
Yeah,
it is the long game. So it took me probably about 6 months before I even got my first lead. And I think I did one or two deals that first year.
Yep.
One I made like $3,000 on as a wholesale deal. And one was a property that I ended up taking down as a rental and was able to actually still have that property today. So, but the equity that I made in that one property was double what I paid for the SEO program. So that alone to me was worth it. And then once I did that, I was like, okay, now I'm playing with house money, so to speak. You know, like everything on top from here on out's gravy.
Probably give you a jolt of confidence to go, hey, it actually works.
Absolutely. Because there were many, many times during that 8 months of me struggling to build my SEO that I was terrified that I'd made the wrong decision.
Yeah. talk to me about that, because I don't know many of folks who could go 8 months doing anything for 20 hours a week and not seeing a result and continue to go. What was inside of you that just said, this is the path I'm going to continue?
Yeah, it was miserable.
I believe it
was miserable. And I was working, by that time, I'd actually graduated up to buying pallets of Amazon returns to sell on eBay.
Yep.
So my garage and my 600 square foot bonus room upstairs in my house were completely full of junk. You know, I was testing items and cleaning them and trying to list them on eBay and doing all this stuff. And it paid the bills and I was glad that I had it, but I hated it. And I knew that for me to get to a place with my family where we could be more settled and to be able to provide for my family in that way, like that, there wasn't an option. Like I could go get a job, but I knew that just a regular job was not going to give me the financial freedom that I wanted for my family. So, and it's in the middle of COVID. So we're homeschooling our kids at home.
Yeah.
So I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to work for a couple hours before the kids wake up. And then we're homeschooling and my wife is working from home, doing a nursing job she can do from home. And we're trading off. And it was tough, man.
Yeah.
It was not an easy time in our lives, but my wife especially was very supportive in that she knew, because she had seen the power of real estate through the few rentals that we had had before.
Right.
And she could see the potential that it had. That was a big conversation when we first invested in the SEO program as well, because that what we paid for the program was about 80% of our savings at that point in time. It was kind of an all or nothing deal. Like I didn't really have anything to fall back on.
Yeah. All right. So bring me out of COVID into, let's call it 2021. What did 2021 look like?
Yeah. So 2021, I'd actually met a guy who I coached our two sons' soccer teams. And he had some sort of investor hat on or something at a game. And I just kind of got to talking to him, found out he was also a real estate investor. And we just kept in contact for a while. And so he had actually mentioned to me at one point that if I ever really wanted to learn the business, that if I figured out how to get off-market leads, that he would teach me what to do with them, basically. And so then, so I went and did my SEO stuff, started getting some leads in, and I came to him. I said, hey, here's what I've done. Would you still be willing to do that? And so I did my first five deals with him kind of as my mentor, where he would give me a cut of the deal, but he basically held my hand and walked me through everything.
The whole thing.
How to talk to off-market sellers. I mean, it's funny. I built this entire SEO website of like, you know, we buy houses for cash and all this stuff. And I didn't even know what an off-market contract looked like. Like I'd never seen one. Like I never bought a house off-market ever. I was very new, but I was very, I knew that the one thing that every investor was looking for was leads.
That's right.
Right. Was deals. And that if I could be the guy with the leads and the deals, I could find people to teach me the rest of it. And so that's kind of what I did. I'd spent 2021 basically working with him, did a few deals on my own. as well. And 2022 is kind of taking off with a bang.
Yeah. Rocking and rolling. So what's 2022? If you're look from here, we're in April as we record this, to the rest of the year, what's it look like for you? Where are you headed this year?
Yeah. So my goal was, so last year I did 14 total deals, some wholesale JV flip, or not really flips, but did some burrs. And then this year, I think we've already completed or have under contract 12 deals so far this year. So we're hoping to double what we did last year. And some of that too is actually, so we've expanded. If you search on Google, basically any sort of motivated seller keyword for Chattanooga, you know, how do I sell my house fast? We buy houses, whatever, all that stuff. My website now ranks number one for everything and every keyword in Chattanooga. So those leads are coming in, but Chattanooga is still a fairly small market.
Sure.
So it's not like I'm getting 20 leads a week or anything.
Right.
So I decided to take all this effort, you know, these 1,000 hours that I'd put into learning SEO and expanded it to some other markets. So now I'm in Nashville and Huntsville, Alabama, and trying to expand it to like Atlanta and Kansas City and several other bigger markets. And at first I was trying to figure out how to virtual wholesale those deals myself and then realize I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know these markets. I don't know these places. I don't want to be the sketchy wholesaler that just puts something under contract and then doesn't know what they're doing. And
scrambles,
then
scrambles to try to find a buyer.
Doesn't have a buyer, has to back out. I wasn't going to do that. So what I ended up doing was reaching out to some people that I knew and trusted and asking for recommendations of wholesalers in each of those markets that they knew and trusted, who operated with integrity and, you know, were good at what they did and did a decent amount of volume, and then reached out to those people. And so I've now partnered with 4 or 5 different JV partners in different markets where all the leads from my website now get emailed directly to them, going to their CRM, their acquisition managers. And then we do kind of a percentage split where they keep the majority of the profit since they do all the work, but then they send me a cut as well from whatever they make off of those wholesale deals.
Is that a piece of your business that you're expanding? Are you looking for new folks?
Not at the moment, because SEO takes such a long time to grow. I'm a little bit underwater trying to get my new 12 markets I'm trying to go all ranking. In hopefully 6 or 8 months, once I've got all those markets ranking where those are actually bringing in leads, then I'll be looking to expand to new markets at that point.
Dude, that's pretty exciting. And it's quite a journey for what you've been on. And in 2 years later, it's night and day compared to where you started.
It very much is. Yeah. It very much is. Yeah. You know, we got to take a vacation to the beach this past week with my kids and have a good time. And it was nice to know that, like, we're now in a place where we can do, you know, not that we were destitute by any means, but like it was, money was very tight. And now we're getting to a place where money's usually only tight when my rehab draws or my refinances don't come through in time to pay my contractors.
They don't line up quite right.
Yeah, exactly.
The ultimate ebbs and flows. Yeah, exactly. Well, it goes past, is it fair to say it goes past dollars and cents compared to how you feel today versus 2 years ago? You weren't destitute then, you're not destitute now, but mentally and emotionally, you're on a completely different path. You feel like you're on the right track now versus back then. You were just trying to figure it out, trying to survive, if you will. I mean, mentally, in terms of where am I headed as a career, as a person, kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. 2 years ago, it was, oh man, I really hope this works. And now it's, I know it works. I've just got to continue moving forward and growing.
Right.
It's not so much the guess of, if it doesn't work, what am I going to do?
What am I going to do?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
What habit could you never live without?
Oh, man. I don't know if this is a habit so much of a mindset, but one of the things that I've tried to do and I feel like has helped me in my business is just constantly being in an attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness. And what I mean is not just in a general sense, but like specifically with the people that I'm working with every day. Yeah. I feel like so often investors kind of get a stigma sometimes of like, we're about the deal, about the money, about the profit, about the spreadsheets, and you know, nothing's going to stand in our way and that sort of thing. And I felt like much of my success has actually come more from helping those people that I'm working with and that I'm around that are involved in my business feel appreciated and valued, if that makes sense. So like one of the things that I always do is I'll, like 2 weeks ago, had crazy issues with a refinance. My title company I work with bent over backwards trying to help me, did an amazing job. And I bought all the ladies at the title company lunch the next day at a new restaurant that had opened up near them just to say thank you.
Yep.
You know, and they were just blown away. They're like, oh man, it feels so good to feel like what we do is valued and appreciated. You know, like that was something that doesn't happen very often.
Oh, I believe that. Yes.
Because usually people only, they complain when things go wrong. When things go right, they ignore you. Exactly. And so that's one of the things that I try to do, is to help people know how much I value them and how important they are to what I'm trying to do.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask your personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com. Don't quote me on the stat, but it's something like if somebody has a negative experience versus a positive experience, they'll tell 2 or 3 times as many people about the negative than they will about the positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you're right. It's especially in the title, it's an unthanked profession. Mm-hmm. So to know that they're loved and appreciated, I bet it goes a long, long way.
For sure. So I try to be very intentional with that. Yeah. And even small things like gift cards, thank you cards, whatever, make a big impact.
Tremendous seeds. Well, let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call 4 for Impact.
4 for Impact.
Your favorite quote, the greatest risk in life is not taking one. What about that resonates with you so much?
Yeah, I feel like I have a fairly high risk tolerance anyways. My personality, like mountain bike and snowboard and whitewater kayak, and I have my skydiving license for a while. And whatever, you know, so that's
you're in it. You got to get that adrenaline.
I am, for sure, for sure. But I also feel like a big part of that is that not taking a risk is a risk.
Yes.
That like, if you don't take a risk, then the risk is that you stay exactly the same. Right. And so I feel like that to me is, I don't want to do that. I don't want to just stay the same. I want to constantly be pushing and improving and going further in who I am.
I'll suggest you may not even stay the same. You may go backwards because you're either growing or you're dying.
Hey, that's smart. I love that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a tremendous quote. Mm-hmm. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level, whatever that is?
Yeah, so I think going back to kind of that risk quote before is that I feel like people don't even necessarily have a great understanding of what risk is. So there's this fear aspect of it. But like we were saying, the risk of not doing anything is also a risk. Okay, but I encountered this concept that I've heard, and I didn't invent it or anything, but it's the asymmetric bet or the asymmetric risk. Right. And so it's that, for example, when I started my SEO, right? Okay. It was like 80% of our savings was going to be the cost of this program. Yes. I knew that I wasn't going to get leads for a while. But in my mind, it was okay. So what is the worst possible case scenario? I work really hard on this. I continue paying my bills through my side job. This doesn't work. And now I'm out 20 grand, but I'm basically back where I started.
Yep.
Right. No change. Best case scenario is, well, I get really good at SEO. I get hundreds and hundreds and thousands of free, basically, leads for the next couple of decades and make millions of dollars. So like, it's not, I become a millionaire or I become destitute. It's a very smaller risk in comparison to the potential, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The risk is not directly correlated to the return.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's where people kind of get mixed up is in that fear is, okay, well, what is the nuclear scenario? What is the worst possible thing that can happen? Right. But then what's the potential? And those are usually, like you said, not directly related. If you do it right, then you take the risk that's a smaller risk for a much greater reward.
Right. Have you found yourself into more homes, more deals, finding yourself, let's call your risk tolerance, and I'm not sure it's a real risk tolerance, but the risk, your ability to take on additional risk expands. And it may not be so much that it's additional risk, but your knowledge and your comfort level in order to make a decision has improved.
I think that's the key. The risk itself is not greater.
Yeah.
It's the knowledge and your understanding help you determine what the risk truly is and what the potential really is. And I absolutely agree with that.
And you only get there through taking action.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
So first would be, I mean, just my family. That's kind of my number one. My second would be the outdoors, anything outside, anything that I can do to get my heart pumping, adrenaline going a little bit, or just even hiking through the woods with my kids. Anytime I can combine the family and the outdoors together, I'm a happy man.
Yeah. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Yeah. So my wife and I actually decided when we first started our business that for any basically any money that we make through our business, that we donate a percentage of that to the organizations that we really love and support, working with people in homelessness and human trafficking and that sort of thing. So that's something we're really passionate about and wanting, you know, the more we grow our business, the more money we make, the more we can support those causes. And that's something we're really excited to do.
That's tremendous. For people who want to connect, they want to learn more about you, they just want to stay in touch so that when, you know, 6 or 8 months rolls around, you're looking for new markets, they can, you know, they can be in your radar, if you will. How can they find you? What's the best way to connect?
Yeah, for sure. So Instagram, Facebook, New Horizon Homebuyers. That's also our website. And then Real Life Investor Couple. We've got some articles and blog posts and stuff on there as well on Instagram, Facebook. That's our website as well, reallifeinvestorcouple.com. My wife even wrote an article recently that said, "Help, I married a real estate investor." So if you've got a partner or somebody who maybe is not the real estate type and wants some advice from the perspective of that other person,
of the spouse,
feel free to check that out.
That's a cool one. No, that's a great article. Probably anybody should have their spouse read that, because we are a different breed of folks, are we not?
We are.
There's no way around it. Yeah. Well, great. I'll make sure we get the show, the links in the show notes below for anybody who want to connect up with the air. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and share your story. It's fun to hear about, you know, how you became an accidental landlord and then at a spot where you're like, I need to figure out, I want to make this work, but I'm not really sure what my entry point is. And then ultimately decide on an SEO. I think too many people I talk to, especially new folks, you know, they feel like they got to do everything. And if you try to do everything, you don't do anything right or well. And not everything has to involve, it's not necessarily about right or wrong. It's about what's right for you. Mm-hmm. And you took the time to understand, you know, here are all the different ways. And here's the one that's comfortable for me, which I can see myself plugging into. I think that's tremendous. So you were diligent enough to give it thought before you just read a piece and you're like, all right, well, I got to get 400 bandit signs out. I got to go at 2 a.m. and put them up.
Yeah.
You actually give some thought to that. And we're very diligent about how to best execute in that. And you're being rewarded today for your efforts. It was great.
Well, thanks, Neil. It was a pleasure being on.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Hey, for everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.